Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Chad Willardson. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
You know, Chad, when I was growing up, my favorite basketball team was the Detroit Pistons, and that's when they had the Bad Boys. They were very popular.
Oh, the Bad Boys.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, man.
Rick Mahorn, Isaiah Thomas, John Sally, those guys. I know
the Microwave. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember them.
Yeah, I know you are, you and your family are big into sports as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And your favorite team was the Lakers growing up as well?
Always been our team. Our family's always been a home team, you know, followers. So we grew up watching the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Angels. Back then it was the LA Kings, and now the Ducks are hockey, a little bit closer to us. But my favorite player was Michael Jordan. I mean, you can't name many kids that grew up in the early 80s that didn't love Michael Jordan. So I watched Michael Jordan and the Jordan Rules against the Bad Boys with great anticipation every time they played, no doubt.
Yeah, I didn't like Jordan at first because he got so much attention. And because I was a Detroit Pistons fan, they despised him. They were really rough
Absolutely.
On him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really appreciated him when he came back after his father died, was murdered. And then I started to like him, and because he seemed more human then.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's how things are. Sometimes you can be on the top of your game or the top of your industry. I know you've had probably many things that's happened in your life, but I remember reading a part of your book where, you know, in Merrill Lynch, you was there for like 9 years and you were ranked like in the top 2% of over 16,000 advisors, financial advisors. And, you know, some things happened in the financial industry that really shake things up for you. How was that situation for you?
It was a challenge because here I was, seemingly at the top of the industry, top of the company, and just there were a lot of perks, corporate perks for that. I felt like that's something that I really thought about, like, is it uncomfortable enough for me to make a move and leave all this behind? And I had people tell me, you're crazy, like, I can't believe you would leave all that stuff at the big Wall Street bank. But inside of me, I just felt like there's something better out there. I felt this need to be more independent and have more transparency and less restrictions in what we could help clients with, because I saw the need for people who were just looking for face-to-face, honest, transparent advice as an independent fiduciary. And I couldn't do that as long as I was tied to the big banks. And so it was a big leap of faith. It was a struggle. I went backwards. I took many, many steps backwards when I left. I went from, like you said, being at the top of the industry to having a lease and employees to pay for and payroll and an office building and all these things. And my income to start out was zero. So I left a pretty significant income and stock bonuses and everything, and I left it all behind to start Pacific Capital in 2011. And fortunately, everything has worked out beyond what I imagined. And we're very blessed and very fortunate to see where we've grown to and the great people we've added. So I don't look back with regret at all.
I know, as I alluded to earlier, your book, Stress-Free Money. One common theme that kept coming up was doing things or doing your work for the people. Where did that come from? Where did that principle come from? Because it seemed like a really fast principle within you.
Great, great recognition by you. Thank you. It came from just the way I was raised. My parents and my grandparents had always had a great influence on me and to teach me that people were more important than anything else. Relationships are more important than money. And, you know, I remember one experience. We were at my grandparents' house, and she had a new white couch. And I remember I had some kind of drink. It might have been Kool-Aid or fruit punch or something, and it was red. And I knocked the pitcher over, and it spilled red punch all over the white couch. And I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and I knew I was going to be in so much trouble, and I started crying. Mm-hmm. And just crying and just full of fear that, like, my grandparents, my parents, I'm in so much trouble right now. And my grandma simply walked in. She put her arms around my shoulder as if to comfort me and pat my shoulder, and she said, "Oh dear, it's okay. We can fix the couch." And she said, "Don't ever forget that people are more important than things." And I was relief, like, wow, grandma's not mad at me for that. And I felt like I was in so much trouble. I just ruined something that was really special. And that has, those types of experiences over time as a young kid really stuck with me from the way I was raised, that, it, you know, do good for the people and the success and the things that you hope to achieve will follow, not the other way around. In fact, when I was first starting in my career, I was 23 years old. I just graduated college. My friend's dad was a very successful attorney in Southern California. He shook my hand. He said, "Congrats on the new job. Let me give you one piece of advice, since I've worked with many financial people." He said, always put the people first, and the money will eventually come later. Don't ever put the money ahead of the people." And he was someone I really admired and respected. And I just think I was around that kind of culture and that environment since I was a little kid. And it's something that I carry with me to this day. And it's something that I expect of everyone who works for me.
That's an amazing story. And it's amazing that encounter with your grandmother, she gave you you did something that you thought for sure that you were going to get in trouble. And she gave you love, a love principle that didn't cause you to continue to just throw juice all over the place, right, but it caused you to have a direction and to hold on to that principle. And oftentimes, I think the only thing that could come out of me is what's in me. It's impossible for grape juice to come out of me if I'm only drinking grapefruit juice.
Right.
You know, so these things, only thing that could come out of us is what's in us. So how were you able to continually be Chad, the principles that were engrafted and indoctrinated within you from a kid in that industry of greed, possibly sometimes, or doing things
sure.
unethical for you to remain in that state?
It's a great question. I feel like, for me, it was always this industry and the success I could have in giving people financial advice and guidance would depend on my reputation of trust. And I knew that if I don't remember who told me this, but in the very beginning, they said, anything you ever say or do, anything you text or email, anything you do for a client on their behalf, if it was broadcast on the news or on the cover of the Wall Street Journal, would you be embarrassed at all? Would there be anything in your behavior or what you've said that could come back to bite you in the future? And I just have always tried to carry that with me, that integrity matters. My integrity matters more than my income. That's for sure. I mean, I'm not going to, regardless of the sharks in our industry, and there are many, and I witnessed that at Merrill Lynch. I felt like there was such a culture of go get what's yours, and doesn't matter what the cost is. And part of that, just that environment, it was always wearing on me a little bit. I tried to just distance myself from that culture of like, what's the highest commissions and things like that. And once I left and broke free and said, all right, let's create a company that is completely focused on the experience of the people. And it's like a huge burden of relief was off my shoulders, because I could come in and say, today we're going to talk about how to make it more attractive for people to come work with us. Or what is a client experience when we pick up the telephone? And it was never about what are the commissions. You know, we don't even have anyone who works on commission here at the firm. We have no sales quotas. There's no salespeople. We just believe in doing good for people, and the reputation will spread on its own. And that's how we've grown, is through referrals and through our reputation and credibility. So it is important. I think it does make us stand out in an industry where people feel like they're being sold or they're being pressured to do stuff. I really like to tell people the pros and cons of everything. It's an open book. I never want them to come back in 5 or 10 years and say, yeah, but you told me this and that's not how it actually worked out. I want to say, here are all the options. Here are the pros and cons. And let's discuss what might be a best fit for you, but let's do it openly. And we'll tell you what we recommend, but ultimately it's your decision.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, your company definitely stands out from just the principles that you've even outlined, because there's actually nothing that you've put in the company that's going to force people to try to be greedy, so to speak, for, you know, if I do this, then I can get, you know, X amount of whatever. So that's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
The structure is not incentivized to do anything but help the clients. And therefore, I've put people in a position to succeed together with the clients. So I say no one should win at your expense. That's what I tell people. Like, we should only do well when you do well. So there's not going to be anything in my company that allows someone to do well at your expense.
Yeah. What are some things that, people, families could look for when they are choosing a financial advisor?
I would say you really need to look for, I suggest you look for someone who is a certified financial fiduciary. That's something you can do some research on. What is the difference between a fiduciary and a broker? But it's significant. I've been on both sides. I was not a fiduciary at Merrill Lynch by nature of working for a big bank. I am an independent fiduciary now. The difference between the two is significant. And unfortunately, only 5 to 7% of financial professionals in the United States are fiduciaries. So most people would think that they're working with one when they're really actually not. I think that's important. You want to look for someone that you can get along with. This is a real relationship business. You want to look for someone who's got a reputation of trust. I do background research on their records and their history, if there's any compliance violations or if they've got a clean record. If you're an entrepreneurial family, if you own a business, I suggest you find a fiduciary who also owns a business. For me, if I'm seeking out parenting advice, I want to go to someone who also has kids so they can actually speak from experience. In that same manner, if you own a business, you should find a fiduciary financial advisor who owns a business, because they're going to speak from experience. They're going to have moments where they were in the trenches just like you. Rather than an advisor who works at a bank or an insurance company who's an employee and may not have that same experience to counsel you and guide you as you are growing and starting your own businesses. Those would be some of the main tips I would share.
Is there an actual specific site where people could look up things, or is just a regular search that you have to just kind of lead in different ways?
Yeah, I think you could look up a fiduciary advisor near me or fiduciary advisor. I guess nowadays geography doesn't matter as much. I mean, I'm in California, and we've got most recent clients are from North Carolina, Florida, Switzerland, and Guatemala. Our four most recent new clients.
Wow.
So I guess the Google near me search doesn't matter as much anymore with Zoom technology, but you can really search for fiduciary advisors. I think you can do that through LinkedIn. You can do that on Google, but I believe that's the best route. Someone who's going to do some planning with you rather than just try to sell you something.
So what do you think? I believe that everyone wants to have some financial freedom or, you know, have a nest egg, so to speak, when they retire. Right. So to have goals is important. So why do you believe some people struggle to even get to that point to reach out for a fiduciary or a financial advisor because they may think they don't have enough money?
Right. I believe most people, this is something that we all procrastinate. And yet it's one of the top goals people have. If you think about New Year's resolutions, I think most people would say save more money and lose a little weight. And those are the two things they start off every year hoping to do. But it gets procrastinated. And maybe that's because it's overwhelming. You don't know where to start or you're not sure who to turn to. And so it's something you think, well, I'll deal with it when... And you make an excuse, you know, when I make a certain higher level of income that I'm not making yet, or when I've got a certain amount saved up, or when I reach a certain age, I'm suddenly going to start getting more serious about my financial life. But I don't think it's I don't think it's ever too early to begin your financial planning as a family, as a single person, as a business owner. It takes planning and preparation to succeed. So the old quote is true. The best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago, but the second best time is today. It's like, when should you start trying to eat healthier and exercise more? Well, of course, you should start today because it's only going to help your future become a better future. So I think there are mental obstacles and things like that, but if you find someone you could trust, you can overcome those hurdles and find something that's right for you.
So how can people get in contact with you and your company?
Yeah, with me, well, pacificcapital.com is the best place. It's a really simple one-page site that shares the services that we have for people. You can schedule a free goals conversation there. There's no cost or obligation. We can chat for 20, 30 minutes with someone on our team and see what your top goals are, what you're worried about, and if there's anything that we can do to help you or if we can guide you to somewhere else that could assist you. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. And then Amazon has my book, Stress-Free Money, and my second book coming out probably the end of August. That's called Smart Not Spoiled. And that's going to be the 7 money skills your kids must learn before they leave the nest. So that's going to be more about how to teach young people about money.
So what's your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
I would like to say that though most people report being stressed or anxious about their financial life, it doesn't have to be that way. You have the opportunity to have a more stress-free relationship with money and to get more on the path towards financial freedom. No matter what income level you are at, you really can achieve financial freedom. It takes a little bit of work, but it's completely worth it, and it'll change your life.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.